Today, we are talking all about a habit that can improve all of your other habits, life hacking. This is an intentional form of problem solving that will help you align your habits with your goals while maintaining a flexible, open-handed approach to living. I'm Casey Fletcher, and this is Season 1, Episode 16 of the More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. Thanks so much for joining me as we create a life we love and cultivate a heart for God. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. We're talking all about habits in Season 1 of the podcast, and I hope that you're starting to implement a few of these ideas. If you are, head over to the blog at amorebeautifullifecollective.com and let me know what you think. You can subscribe, comment, and even shoot me an email if you have any ideas, comments, or questions about the things we've been talking about. Don't forget to leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. This helps others find the show by improving the show's rankings in the algorithm. I absolutely love the new year. I've already got my planner, which I ordered back in October. Too excited to get planning for the next year. And I've been brainstorming my word of the year. I've thought about all of the resolutions I want to set for myself and the vision I have for this next year. And I just truly love this time that comes with dreaming of all of the possibilities and opportunities that come with the new year. I think the new year brings out the hopeful dreaming self in everyone. Like a little child anxiously awaiting the new school year with your pencil pouches and your backpacks and your new outfits picked out and perfectly arranged, we arrive at the new year wide-eyed and a little starstruck at the vision of what we think we're going to accomplish. But I think most of us have learned to temper our expectations. And instead of viewing it like that wide-eyed little kindergartner that's a little afraid but so hopeful of all the awesome things that you're going to do, we may view the new year more like a sullen teenager with a bad case of senioritis even on the first day. And with a cynical air, we exclaim, what's the use? There's no point in making any goals, any resolutions. They're just going to be abandoned by MLK Day and a forgotten memory by March. So what you do is you let this opportunity of a new you in the new year pass you by. So today, I'm going to encourage you to not let this be the case for you this year. And I'm going to give you a strategy to breathe some flexibility in your life and into your resolutions while helping you to stay motivated throughout the year. And the strategy is life hacking. Now, what is life hacking? Life hacking, whenever I'm talking about it, is an attitude of problem solving, flexibility, and openness while remaining firmly committed to your goals. We talked about this a little bit on our podcast about how to create habits that stick. When you're creating your habits, you should first establish your goals. Then you should create habits that align with the goals that you set for yourself. So the process looks a little bit like this. You determine your aspirations for yourself, what you want your life to look like, what you want to accomplish, what you want your legacy to be, and then you determine building block goals that are going to get you closer to that aspiration. So what's something that you could do in the next 6 months to a year that would get you closer to reaching that aspiration that you have for your life? And then you brainstorm a list of habits that are going to help you reach that goal. But all too often, I think this is where we stop in the process of setting goals or resolutions. So we pick a habit and we set an arbitrary requirement for ourselves, hoping that we stick to it. And all too often, these are a little bit too lofty and a little bit too unrealistic for our lives. So for instance, we all should have the aspiration to have a close personal relationship with God. And so what we do is we set a goal to read the Bible in a year to get us closer to achieving that close personal relationship with God. And I think our habit is that we say we're going to spend daily quiet time with God. So we say, okay, our habit is going to be a daily quiet time with God, and we're going to do this quiet time to reach the goal of reading a Bible in the year, and that will help us get us closer to the aspiration of being closer with God. This habit would normally include reading between maybe 3 to 5 chapters a day, which takes about 15 minutes. And it's a great and admirable goal if we follow through on that habit. It'll be something very worthwhile. It will be something life-changing. But I think we've all heard the stories, and we may have lived it ourselves, where we start a Bible reading plan for it just to be abandoned in the middle of Leviticus, and we feel shame that we don't follow through. We feel like we need to open up our Bible and power through an entire month's worth of reading to catch up, and we feel like with the days going by that we've become so buried in this weight of abandoned habits that we'll never be able to dig ourselves out of our mess. I think the combination of all of these factors really just leads to us giving up. Our Bible remains relegated to a shelf and gathers dust, only to be pulled out on Sundays if we decide to go old school and use it instead of our phones. I think most of our habits go this way. We get carried away and we set unrealistic goals for ourselves. And when we don't meet them, we give up. Then the next year we go through the same process. This type of behavior can lead to a sort of deadening of the pressure of our goals as time goes on. When we first set a goal for ourselves, we feel so motivated to meet that goal. But I think the more and more that we choose not to do the habits that are going to help us meet those goals, which means that we're choosing to ignore all the triggers that we've set up to remind ourselves of the goals, we ultimately get desensitized to both the habit and the goal. And it's always going to remain on that someday list for our life, but it's never actually going to be accomplished. We say, well, someday I want to read through the Bible. Someday I want to start running. Someday I want to start writing. Someday I want to pray before I go to bed. But the more and more that we say, oh, someday that's going to happen, the more and more that it probably never will happen, because we've given up trying to force ourselves and discipline ourselves and figure out a way to make that happen today. Well, my goal for you and the goal for this podcast is to hopefully motivate you to have that behavior stop today. Our goal for today is to move our lofty goals from our bucket list to our done list. And so to do that, we have to change our mentality. Basically, what we need to do is stop feeling so wedded to the specific habit that we've chosen. And we also need to be constantly assessing how we are doing on reaching our goals. We have to life hack our way to becoming the person that we've always aspired to be. So let's talk about this idea. What is life hacking? Life hacking, or behavior design, is an idea inspired by BJ Fogg in his book, Tiny Habits. It's a great book. You could pick it up. Atomic Habits is one of my favorite books about habits, but Tiny Habits is probably my close second. And it really gives you some actionable steps to make your habits really achievable for you. And so one of the things that he talks about is when you are creating a habit to reach your goals, you always want to assess three aspects of that habit. First, you want to look at how motivated you are to do the behavior. Second, you want to figure out how able you are to do the behavior in terms of like physical capability, time, and financial constraints, things like that. So, you know, if you want to say, okay, I'm going to do 100 push-ups every day, but if you can't even do one push-up, you wouldn't have the physical capability to do that habit. So it would be too hard for you to do that. Or if you are struggling with running 1 mile, saying you're going to run 3 miles every day, it's unrealistic. And so we could think about that too with time or financial constraints. You just want to make sure that you're able to do the habit that you've set for yourself. And the third area that you are supposed to look at, the third aspect, is how effective your prompts or your triggers are. So basically what that means is if you want to wake up every morning to get out of bed, but you have no alarm clock, well, you're probably not going to have a sufficient or effective prompt to get you out of bed. So you would need to think about, okay, what could I do to help me get out of bed? Now, for some of us, that would just be setting the alarm. For others of us, we might need to say you are going to put your alarm in your bathroom, so you have to get up and walk to turn it off. For others of us, you need to have your alarm going, plus you need to have the coffee pot going, plus you need to have all your clothes set out for you. And it's just going to depend on what is effective for you. When you're going through this process of life hacking, you want to assess all three aspects of each of your habits with the understanding that you should minimize your focus on motivation, because motivation is so fickle and fleeting, and maximize your focus on both your ability to do the behavior and the effectiveness of your triggers or your prompts for that behavior. And so this is really where life hacking comes in. You're not always going to be motivated to do a behavior. So you shouldn't try to just make yourself more motivated. Instead, what you need to do is for each habit that you've said, okay, this is what I need to do. This is my goal. This is what's going to help me get to that point. You need to assess the effectiveness of that habit in meeting your aspirations and your goals. And if your habit seems to be failing to help you meet those goals, you should rework it and change it to be more effective in getting what you want to do done. So BJ Fogg says this in his book, because our lives are complex and unique, there will naturally need to be adjustments. Where to put some habits is going to be obvious. What better time to floss your teeth than right after you brush them? While others might take a while to dial in the first few days or even weeks of experimentation, your new habits might shift a lot. And that's better than okay. That's great. It means you're owning your skills and learning more about pairing anchors or triggers or prompts with tiny behaviors. If one habit doesn't hook naturally to an anchor, you might be inspired to replace it with a different habit that seems like a better fit. The moment my head hit the pillow seemed like a good time for me to mindfully take 3 breaths. So I tried it out. It worked, but I didn't feel like it was doing very much for me. It didn't grow naturally, and sometimes it felt pointless. Instead of getting down on myself, I got curious. What else could go there? I've been wanting to practice more gratitude. So after my head hit the pillow, I thought of one thing that happened that day that I was thankful for. And when I did it the first time, I got a happy little zing in my brain that told me I had found the right spot. By playing around with forming habits, we own our skills. With practice, you'll get better at using these principles to create habits that will help you reach your aspirations. Quite often, the skill you'll need is finding a good anchor and pairing it with the right tiny behavior. Then you can efficiently design for change in your everyday life. So this really gets at the heart of what we are doing whenever we are life hacking. We're efficiently designing for change in your everyday life. So he calls them tiny behaviors. I've been calling them habits. But basically what you're doing is you're trying to figure out how you can design those habits to meet the aspirations that you want to be. When you're practicing life hacking, you're constantly assessing and reassessing where you're at with your goals and your habits. And you're going to experiment with your behaviors and try to find the best mix so that you're constantly moving forward in your lives, becoming more like people that we want to be in God. I think crucially, to start this process, the first thing that you have to do is you have to take some time each season or at least once a year to do the work of assessing where you are at. You need to look at the big picture of your life. So looking at your visions, your hopes, your dreams, and then you need to see if the current way that you're living is going to get you closer to that goal. So I've talked about this before. Whenever we're talking about habits, I think your habits are really going to determine the direction of your life. They're also a form of worship. So whenever we're thinking about the different areas of your life, you really want to be able to be self-aware of where you are at. If you feel like, oh yes, you want to be healthy, but every day you're eating out for every meal. Maybe you are eating, a box of Cheez-Its every night, or you're having a tub of ice cream weekly. You're probably not living that healthy of a life. And so you need to be self-aware enough to say, okay, this is probably an issue and I need to change the way that I'm living. So having that time built into your schedule where you can be honest with yourself and where you just have time, I think in the everyday push and pull of life, whenever you're running to work and you're working on your house and you're making meals every day and you're taking care of kids, you just don't have time to think. And so you need to build in time to your schedule. So I heard one of the ladies that I listened to, Sally Clarkson, she says that she does this at least once a year, but she would say she would find a babysitter for the kids and her husband would go and they would get coffee and they would just hash out their goals for the year. And so part of that is that they're assessing where they've been, what they've been doing well, what they've been doing poorly. And then they say, this is how we want to move forward. So you need to build that time into your schedule because it won't happen in just the push and pull of everyday life because you're going to be so busy. Busyness does not breed self-awareness. Normally, it just leads to kind of a deadening of you being insightful, really, because you're just constantly rushing. You're constantly on that hamster wheel. And all that activity kind of does away with some of the thinking. So when I am working on setting my goals, I am always trying to look at different areas of my life. I feel like it helps me to be more well-rounded and more complete. And so I always do this with the recognition that I'm not constantly working on all of these goals all at the same time. And instead, what I'm doing is I'm working on each throughout the year with my focus shifting based on what life requires. So normally some of the areas that I focus on include some of the following. So I try to focus on spiritual disciplines, family discipleship and family culture, home atmosphere, mother culture, which basically is just me learning about things myself, healthy living, play and rest, hospitality, work, service, church, relationships, finances. I recently heard Crystal Payne, author of Say Goodbye to Survival Mode and Time-Saving Mom, talk about her method of spending her time. And what she does is whenever she's planning out her week in her days, she uses a method that she calls the 6x2x2 method. So basically, she has six areas of her life where she sets goals, just like I listed out. But she only focuses on two of those areas each day, with the goal of hitting each area twice a week. So for instance, a few of the areas that she chooses to focus on are her blog, her children, her friends, relationships, taking care of her home, and she can't be focusing on all of those at the same time. I think all too often we try to, and we end up feeling frazzled and frustrated and defeated because we drop something trying to juggle all the balls at once. But instead, by just focusing on two areas a day, we've basically given ourselves license and grace to choose our focus. So if we're doing a big activity with our kids, our house may take a back seat. If we're busy with our jobs for an event that's going to run late, we realize that we might not be able to meet up with our friends and check up in with them like we'd like to. But we don't let that be a pattern for everyday life. We know that later on that week, our house is going to get taken care of, and maybe we'll set a coffee date to spend time with some of our friends. I think it's a great idea for making sure that you're being mindful and intentional about several areas of your life. So once you establish the goals, then you need to do two things. You need to write down your goals someplace where you can go back to them, and then you need to review and assess your goals and habits regularly. So that's it. That's two simple steps to creating a life you love. So let's break those down. So first, once you've figured out your goals, you need to write them down in a place where you can go back and look at them. I like to write down my aspirations on like a vision board, and then I like to divvy up my goals by different areas and write down things that I can accomplish. You can write down your habits too, to make sure that you remember what you're trying to do. But importantly, each week you need to assess where you're at. So to do this, you need to pick a time for a weekly review. This could be when you're making your meal plan for the week or writing out your plans in a planner. A perfect time could be during your morning coffee on Monday or when you're preparing for the week ahead on Sunday night. But during your weekly review, you need to first assess each of your habits as either need to improve, doing good, or you're ready to grow. And then if you find that your habit needs to improve, you got to ask the following: what is making this behavior hard to do? And is there anything I can do to make it easier to do? So with your habits, you need to be honest with yourself and ask, is there something holding you back? For instance, if you want to wake up earlier and do your Bible reading, but every night you're up till midnight, you need to make some changes to your schedule. And that may mean that you decide to move your Bible reading to nighttime when you're awake, or maybe to lunchtime, or you may decide to go to bed earlier so that you can wake up earlier. So this is essentially the point of life hacking. You're experimenting with what works and with what you're currently doing to find the best mixture for your ability, your life goals, your life circumstances. Sometimes to make a habit easier to do, you may need to improve your skills. So you have to learn something to help that out. You might need to find a tool or resource to make it easier to do. So for instance, if you're reading through the Bible and you're kind of struggling, finding a great Bible study can help you to walk through the Bible and make it easier to stick with that goal because it makes it manageable and more understandable. Part of this requires, again, that self-awareness to help you understand exactly what's holding you back from achieving your goals with the habit that you've chosen. You might decide at this point that you need to pick a different habit. If you're exercising, but you just can't make running work for you, maybe you should switch to group exercise or yoga or weight training, and then you'll go through this process and see if it sticks. And if it doesn't, you'll try the next thing. BJ Fogg in his book, what he talked about is how he would actually write down, so he'd have in the middle of his counter, he would spread out a whole bunch of note cards, and in the middle he would write on a big sheet of paper the aspiration or the goal that he was trying to achieve. And then on little note cards, he would write down as many behaviors as he could think of that would get him closer to that goal. And then what he would do is he would think about his day and some of the habits that he already had in place. And then he would pick from one of those behaviors, the habit that would match up with the goal and that he feels like he would be best able to do. So he would call that a swarm of behaviors. And then again, you're picking one of those behaviors that helps you to reach that goal. So basically with life hacking, what you have to do is you have to constantly be assessing if your habit is working. And if it's not, you don't abandon the goal and just say, well, see, that's what happens when you make New Year's resolutions. Instead, you say, okay, well, this is going to require change. What can I do to make this work better? How can I problem solve to help me accomplish the goals that I want to do? For some of your habits, you might find that you're doing great with sticking with them and nothing needs to change. But with some habits, you might even find that you're ready to grow. You're ready to take on more classes or add on other habits to keep improving. You can brainstorm these steps too in your weekly review. I think it's important though, as we talk about all of these things, that you won't always feel like doing your habits. Motivation is fickle and fleeting, and you shouldn't rely on feeling motivated all the time to accomplish your goals. You may not always feel like planning meaningful activities for your kids or choosing to have a daily meal at the dinner table, but these things are important for your family culture. Motivation or feeling like you want to do something doesn't imply the morality of that thing. You may not feel like reading your Bible, but you still need to read your Bible every day for spiritual formation. As someone once said, your feelings are a gauge, not a guide. If you're not feeling motivated to read your Bible, you should use that feeling to life hack your way into a habit of daily Bible reading, not abandon Bible reading altogether. And so sometimes this means that you just have to be more disciplined. Discipline does breed desire. You will find that the more that you do your habit, the more that you will grow to love your habit. It will require discernment and a commitment to your goals to recognize when you need to abandon the current habit that you have and when you need to change it, or when maybe you just need to exercise your self-discipline muscle. When you practice life hacking regularly, you can be more intentional about all of your habits. You will regularly go back to the goals and aspirations you have for your life, which will automatically help you to achieve those things. Many times, we just need to be reminded of our goals to actually achieve them. So by doing a weekly review, you're being reminded of your goals every week. You also have the flexibility and spontaneity to figure out the habits that work best for you. Maybe you could choose at the beginning of the year to do a habit that you think that would work great for you, but you find come the second week of January that it's turned into a slog and you're about ready to give up. So this is the point where you need to pause and think about your swarm of behaviors. Think about other options. Maybe you listen to a podcast or have a conversation with a friend and you learn about something that sounds like a great thing to try. So doing a weekly review gives you the flexibility and the time to assess whether or not the habit that you chose will actually help you reach your goals. And so that space in your schedule, the white space to figure out your habits, will also allow you to see where you can plug in that new behavior into your life. So what happens when you hear about an idea that you'd like to try, but it just won't fit in your schedule at that moment, or that you really want to do a certain habit, but it's just not working right now? Your weekly review time could also be a great point in your week and in your life to jot down that idea in a notebook so you can add those habits to a someday list. If you practice this weekly review process regularly, you can go back to your list and you could choose that habit later, even if it won't work for you right now. So, you know, I am going through the process right now of trying to learn some German. So I use the app Duolingo, which works great. And so for me, that's a habit that I've been trying to do for years. I took German in college, but I've only recently been able to do that habit. So I think a lot of people, what they do with the New Year's resolution is they say, I want to do all of these, 100 things. And so then they find that for some reason they didn't accomplish it. And so then they just say they give up and they never try again, or they feel shame. And that shame makes them always feel like they should be doing that thing, that they should be using Duolingo, or they should be reading their Bible, or they should be exercising. But there's so much shame attached to it that they never work through those feelings to problem solve or life hack their way into a habit that actually works for them. Having a list of habits that maybe you want to do, but you can't do right now, will also remove that burden of doing all of those habits all at the same time. Because it's something that whenever you have the time in your schedule to actually make it work, either in the summer or maybe whenever your job responsibilities change, or whenever maybe you start to plan for a big trip and you want to go overseas. And let's say, again, if you want to learn a language, you say, okay, well, I'm going to learn one now. Maybe I've wanted to do this in the past, but now I have this goal and this end date. Then you can look at your habit list and you can pull it over into what you're doing right now. And it kind of takes away that mental space and mental strain that wanting to do that habit can sometimes add, the mental load of that. So what are some of the goals that you have for the next year? What are some aspirations that you have? Maybe what are some habits that you'd like to try out? I'd love to hear from you. I'm still regularly posting on Instagram and Facebook with announcements of new blog posts and podcasts, but I'm taking a break from checking it regularly. I talked about that in the last episode. If you would like to get in touch with me, please check out the blog, amorebeautifullifecollective.com, and comment on this episode. You can find the link in the show notes. You can also leave a rating and review wherever you listen to this podcast to help others find the show. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts to get the next episode of the podcast to show up in your feed. I'm Casey Fletcher, and I hope you'll join me next week for the next episode. Until next time, keep creating a life you love and cultivating your heart for God.